life, I understand what they're singing about. I have. I share what they're singing about, and that I'm sorry if you don't. This Christian thing is a serious thing. Let me tell you how serious it is. He came down on that cross. That's how serious this is. But how many of you, I'm sorry, let me just take up another 45 minutes of your time so you can get out of here. I'm sorry. Yeah, you got to watch your watches and fall asleep and everything else. This Christian thing is not serious to people anymore. Except for those who really got it. Just telling you that right now, those who really got it. Christianity really means something to me. This Bible means everything to me. That cross, I'm going to share a story with it. I share with my family. I'll sit there and read my Bible. I share it with my Sunday school class. Getting up 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go hunt. Before anything else, so help me God, before anything else, I read my Bible and I pray and I study.
Amen.
I write sermons at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
Not saying that to brag, but let me tell you what happens. It's quiet, it's peaceful. I'm sitting there and I'm reading the book of Exodus. The Lord just steps into my heart and I meet absolutely something I haven't had in a very, very long time. As I'm reading that book, I realized that I looked up and I knew that my Father, my Creator, the one who created me, was looking down at me, sharing a moment with me in that Bible. How many of you had that this week? Oh, you wouldn't know what it is. You don't even read your Bible. That's how serious Christianity is. You know why there's nothing to it to you? Because you don't take it to heart and do nothing with it. Hey, I'm just going to speak the truth here. You know why? Because the truth set me free. Thanksgiving week, good week. Got to spend time with the families and people we haven't seen in a long time. But I can tell you this right now, the people who are sitting in these pews, they're most of you sat there with your families and couldn't wait to leave. Just saying, that's how thankful you are with your family. Couldn't wait to get away from them. Oh, Aunt Sue bothered you this way, and this was that way, and this was that way. That's just how thankful you really are to be around your family. Can't wait to go and get out and be done with it. It's all over. I'll have to put up with them for another year. Most people do that on a daily basis with their family. I'm thankful for my family. Thank God for the ones that bother me and the ones that don't bother me. Thank God for the ones who want to hang out with me or don't want to hang out with me. But you know what I'm thankful for the most of all? That Jesus Christ even thought to give me a family. You're looking at A1 who never deserved a family, and he said, go ahead, I'm going to give you a family. They sit in this church today right here, them three. I told my wife this morning, can you believe that we talk? Yes, me and my wife get up and we talk. How's that? We get up early enough that we can discuss things, pray, or whatever it's going to take. Things that got to be put in order, whatever. Right? I said, my family is a mess right now. I said, we got to get this back in order. Things got to be put back in order. Wouldn't you want to be thankful for that if you never had that in your life? That you could honestly have that in your heart to finally sit there and tell a family, let's get things back the way it should be. You think that was ever a desire in my heart when I was out there? You think I could ever love one woman and two children? Go look at my past record. It'll tell you. It makes me get up in the morning and be concerned about my family. Lord, as Job, he got up every morning and sanctified his children. That's what it says. Go read the book of Job. You know what I pray every morning for my Lord, sanctify my children.
Amen.
Set them apart for you. That's what I pray for. Not for them to be rich and famous and this. Save them, Lord. Would you save them and raise them up in a Christian home? That my son can go out there and be a Christian man, and my daughter can go out there and be a Christian wife, that they can go out there with their loved ones and out there with a King James Bible and do something?
Amen.
That's what I pray for my kids. I kid you not. I promise you. I have no reason to lie. I don't care if I impress you or if I don't impress you. I don't care if you like me or don't like me. I don't care if you want to hear my voice or don't want to hear my voice. I'm just telling you. Why wouldn't I be thankful? How thankful are we is the message. How thankful are we? I'm going to come out of Mark 15 and start in verse 28. How thankful are we? You know how thankful we want to be when somebody's hurt or something's going wrong? Then we want to start acting like everything really matters to us then. What about before then? What about before we go bail our children out of prison?
Or go see them in a rehab or whatever. What about before then? G-
Jesus has given us, people, I'm just telling you now, he has given us a new life and a new chance right in this church. Pastor Hayes couldn't have said it any better than when he got up here and said, we have a man of God that comes up here and teaches us these things and gives us these things. And you know what? We can't even pay attention for an hour of what's going on. And you know what? Everybody's ready to run or go eat or fall asleep or whatever else. And we can't even listen to the preacher. You want something to hey, you know what most people want? Yes, they want change. They want different things in their life. They want this and that. But you know what? They don't want to go through what it takes to get to that place. I'm going to tell you now, as I stand here, me and my family have went through a lot in the last 3 years to get to where we are. Yes, we're not perfect. No, we have not attained anything that we're supposed to. But we're a whole lot better off than we were 7 years ago. Tell me, are we not? Amen. Yeah, how easy was it? How was it walking through the tulips the last 3 years? How's it been? Not an easy thing, but it's the best thing. You know, I told my family this morning, I looked at them, that I got all their attention. I looked at them, I said, you don't know what it is to have a hard life. Them three sitting right there have no clue what a hard life is. I said, you know what? The Lord has spared you. I said, but please, I can handle it. I can handle if I have to go back on the street. I can handle if I have to go out there and live that way again. I said, but you three have no clue. I said, please don't let the Lord bring us to that point.
But
if that's the point it's going to take for our family to get back, let's go. That's how important my family is to me. Really? That's just, and I kid you not. Do you think I'm lying to you, Amy, when I say that stuff? No, she knows I'm dead as a heart. I'm dead serious as a heart attack. I said, you guys don't know that. The Lord has spared you guys of that. Thank God for it. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Thank God for what He's done and is doing in our family. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the insight. You know what? Let's get this thing right. Let's not have to go back to it. I said, you don't know it? You don't need to know it. Let's just get this thing right. Thank God for my family. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for that cross. It's Mark 15. Let me get to my point. Mark 15, verse 28. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. You know what? You're all transgressors sitting in this church today. Guess who was numbered with us? Jesus Christ. How's that, Pastor?
Amen.
He was numbered with us.
Right.
Became one of us.
Amen.
Huh? He became one of us. Oh, let me not get ahead of myself. He became one of us. He took sin upon himself. He was counted as one of us. His heart was fixed on making a way for us to be right in the sight of God. He saw past what we were and what we could be with him. Do you realize they kept him on that cross? Because he seen past what we were at that very moment. And he said, this is what Dale Morey can be. Or else why would he even waste his time on that cross? Let me go ahead and get this. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. He became like us in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For what? For me. He went on that cross. He seen my face on that cross. And it kept him on that cross. And he stayed there because of me. Because he knew that one day I was going to turn to him. He knew that one day that Dale Morey was going to need a way to be right with God. And he said, I'll stay on this cross. Oh, but it gets deeper. I'm trying to jump the gun a little bit here. But you know what? This thing isn't taken serious anymore. It's not a serious matter. It isn't. Little fluffy Christians and all this other garbage that goes on. Christianity's not a sin. Oh, be holy for I'm holy. What's that mean to anybody anymore?
Oh.
What was this written for? Oh, yeah, and this is called the Bible. I know you haven't picked it up in a long time. But you want to know how to live your life as a Christian. There it is. I know people who claim to be Christian. Oh, you don't have to take it that far. Oh, let's see, you know how far God took it? You wouldn't be saved if he didn't take it that far. That's how serious it was. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, thou therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. You are new. Old things have passed. Behold, all things become new. What happened to that in the Bible? It's still there as far as I know. But you know what? People can memorize a verse, but they have no clue what that verse stands for. They have no clue what the meaning behind it. You know what I preached on in my Sunday school this morning? Matthew 6, 33 and 34. How many people know it? Probably pretty much all of you. Do you know the meaning behind it? I got a 3-page thing that I wrote behind what that means. 3 pages. And I could have went on of what Matthew 6, 33 and 34 means. Just go ahead, you can memorize your verse, but what about knowing what the verses say? Then not only knowing them, what about taking them and not only do you memorize them, but knowing what it says, but how about living them?
Oh, that just blows everybody's mind.
I gotta live that? Yes. What do you think God put it there for? If you're not going to live and take what this says with every ounce of your heart, if you're not going to take what it says, if you're not going to live or do anything with it, then just leave it alone. You're the one who looks like the fool. Claiming Christianity and walking around like a fool calls you a fool in the Bible. A fool. He gave us this for instructions. He gave us this for learning. He gave us this. Why? Because we loved if our kids came with an instruction manual, wouldn't we? Oh. Guess what? We are God's children. He gave us an instruction manual right here. How to run our life. It's right here in front of you. When you want to fix something and you can't understand something, you need an instruction manual, you'll go ahead and read that. You want to learn how to fix your life, you won't pick up a Bible, that's your instruction manual.
That's right.
Don't pick it up though.
No.
Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Listen, I know our pastors and there's these Catholic priests out there who want to act all holier than thou. But I'm telling you something, they can't touch our infirmities like Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they didn't come down here to live as we did.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came down here to live as a man, fully as a man, so that he could understand every aspect of what we go through.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's what it says. Our pastor loves us, but he can't understand the things that I
want.
But Jesus Christ does.
Sure does.
He knows every bit of it. How comforting to me that is.
Amen.
I don't care if you have that comfort. You can have it. It's there for you. Let me go on and finish what it says here. With the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. How do we obtain mercy? Because he understands all of it. Every little ounce of what you think you can go through, you're not by yourself. He understands it all. Therefore, he has the grace and mercy to hand out to you. Oh, it feels good sometimes to talk with somebody when you're in trouble, but there's just no comfort in it. You say, yeah, that's really good. There's just no comfort. I'm telling you now, you start talking to Jesus Christ, and he starts talking back to you. Guess where you're going to find your comfort? Right there. Why? Because he understands perfectly well. How thankful are you for what the Lord is doing in your life? How grateful are you? It shows in your life. It shows how thankful you are to people. It shows how thankful you are for the one who died for you. You're not hiding a thing. Even if you did hide it from a man, and you sit there all sneaky, and you really think you're getting away with everything, and listen, I sat there reading my Bible the other day in Exodus, and just thought the feeling of just a thought said, "Oh my goodness, Jesus Christ is watching me right now. Don't you think he's watching you?" Oh, Doug, I would pay $1 trillion to get 5 more minutes of that, man. I know what it's going to take. It's going to take full out, 100% surrender for me to get that continually. And I have to get to that point myself. I'm not preaching to you guys because I have everything perfect. I'm preaching to you because I'm learning.
Amen.
But I'm just telling you now, when you get something like that, that's something you want again and again and again. That's something you want to hold on to. That's something you always want. That's something that drives you in your heart to have something like that. I just sat there and opened the book of Exodus and I was reading and I just could not believe it. The very thought just came over me. I mean, it was just so warm. It was just so tender. It was, absolutely beautiful. I was at such peace with everything in my entire life. Everything was so good. It was just so good at that moment. I said, my goodness, my Creator is looking down at me right now. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. He says that come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hey, Jesus can help you in your time of need. We want to turn everywhere else for help.
Yeah, that's right.
Except for the very one who died for us. Oh, I love Jesus.
he's so good. It is well with my soul. When's the last time you even did anything for him? When's the last time you even thanked him for what you had? When's the last time, you were really 100% grateful for what he's done? When have you ever, have you ever sat down and thanked God for the Bible? Man, the other day, me and my wife, we had a Friday by ourselves. The kids were gone, and we were going to the 86. We were on 86, and we were going out to Olean. And, she was just preaching to me out of the Bible. All this stuff, I said, yes! Sit there and discuss with your spouse or your friend or whatever else, the Bible, the way me and my wife do? What a wonderful thing. I'm thankful for that. Man, thank God. Thank God for what he's doing in the Morey family. Not perfect. Oh, we got just as much, maybe more problems than all you guys. But how thankful are we for what he's doing in our life? Because for the first time in a long time, this week I just realized, Lord, I haven't been thankful like I should for what you've done for me.
Amen.
The very things that my family has never experienced, I lived through triple, quadruple times. And that's what he pulled me from. He pulled me from that, and he put a King James Bible in my hand. Better yet, he put it into my heart. He said, now let's go. And I said, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I'm not saying, is it easy? It's not easy, is it? But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's 100 quadrillion times easier than that life that I was living out there.
Oh, amen.
100. I don't pray to be rich and all that kind of stuff. Help us out with a few bills and all that. That's fine with me. If not, Lord, then you just take us through it. You got to carry us through that. I'm telling you right now, Pastor says it best. People hate to trust God. He tells you the truth. Hey, I'm telling you, making about a skin in your teeth. Huh, babe? She knows. Oh, man, I don't know how we're going to do it. And I said, you know what? The Bible says worrying is not going to do a thing for you, so don't do it. He'll take care of it. At the last second, you think it's all over and done, bam, he takes care of it. You know what? That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to rely on him. How can you ever learn how to trust him or rely on him when you're always taking care of things yourself? And then you go, gosh, you know, that just didn't work out the way I thought. No, because you stepped in the way of God. That's what happens. You know? We get in his way and go, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it was. Duh. No. Amen. So he became us, yet without sin, and therefore he understands all that we go through. And he's able to give us the mercy and grace that we need to get through. We are weak. He is strong. He understands all that we go through. This is why Mark 15:28 had to be fulfilled, where it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He had to come down and live like us, like unto us, yet without sin. How is that? That's God. The one who created us, who loved us enough to come down here and go ahead and do that, live amongst us and go through and see the things that we went through. He said, now you know what? Now you don't have an excuse. Oh, Jesus don't understand what I go through. Want to bet? He understands perfectly. You ain't got an excuse now. What's your excuse? What's your excuse for saying Jesus don't understand? He does understand fully. What's your excuse? You can't use that excuse anymore. He done took that right out of the picture. Oh, I know the excuse they're going to use. They're going to try to say, I'm God, I don't understand. Oh, then I'll just come down as a man. Now he understands. He took that right out of the equation.
Yep.
Now you have no excuse for that. Huh? Boy, it never ceases to amaze me what's in this Bible. Never ceases to amaze me what he shows me. You know, what a wonderful thing. I've only been studying it a few short years, and it's a gold mine. It's a gold mine. I desire to read this thing. I desire to go into this thing on a daily basis, 2 or 3 times on a daily. It doesn't matter. Whatever I can. Ask Amy. She'll be driving or something. Next thing you know, I'm on my sofa. I'm looking at the Bible. Something popped into my head. Guess what I do? I take it. I got a little app, and it's called the. My brother's texting. It's called the Sticky Note app. I write sermons right on my phone. Do I not, Amy? God just put something on it. I don't know, you guys don't like the sermon. I don't know what else. Notes, okay? I'll call it notes. But I'll put that right on that sticky note, and I'll stick it, and I'll be typing away. God just put something in my heart, and I'll just run with it. I got my Bible and everything on there. And bang, when I get home, I'll email it to our email, and then I'll put it on the Word program, and I'll print it out, and there it is. Bam. That's what the Lord gave me. Really, I look at the Bible, I don't know how many times a day. Something's always coming into my head about why. Because it's where my heart is. It says where your treasure is where your heart will be. Where's your treasure? You can go ahead and have fun with the rust, the moth, the destroyed, nasty old worldly stuff. Go ahead, have that.
Come on.
Rub it on your chest and see how good that feels. So I tell you what, I'm going with a King James Bible, and I'm going to study this, and this is going to be my treasure. I'm going to live it. Listen, you know, you guys are all my friends. If I disrespect you, I don't mean to. But if I don't live my life to make you happy. I don't care what you think of me or how I live this King James. I don't. I'm going to live this King James Bible the way the Lord puts it on my heart to live. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stand on it. And I'm going to live it and I'm going to breathe it until the day He takes me home. And if you don't like me for it, that's your problem. I'm okay with it. I don't need you to like me for me. I don't need you to accept me for who I am. Jesus Christ made me who I am. I don't need nobody to accept me for how I live my Christianity. Oh, you take that too far? Good. How far is it taking you? Hey, man, if you want to know, you can go ahead and see the dust coming out from behind me. Have fun with that. Jesus Christ wants to do the same with every single person sitting in this room. I'm telling you that right now. That's what He wants. But who wants it? Honestly, I could take a poll. Ain't many hands going to go up. Just be honest with yourself. Listen, honesty is the best thing. I mean, honesty will keep you honest. Be honest. Be real with yourself. If you can be real with yourself on the whole matter, be real with yourself, then God can start talking to you. But if you're not even real with yourself, you're not real with anything else in your life.
That's right.
You better believe that. If you can't look at yourself and go, yep, I do need to take this more serious, or whatever the Lord has put on your heart, go ahead and be real with it. Yep, you're right, Lord. I have not been 100%. Yep, Lord, you're right. I need to go out there and work with more people. Or I need to do this. Go ahead and tell Him your flaw. He knows it already anyway. You're just trying to fool yourself into thinking you know something. It's going to backfire. And it's going to be horrible when it does. Be honest. Mark 15:20 had to be fulfilled. That He was numbered. He would know and understand man. And man would have no excuse. Oh, the foolishness that man would even think that. But they do. Oh, he don't know. Oh, he knew that. That's what gets me. He knew we were going to think that. Because that's our foolish heart. He knows our foolish heart. Okay? And therefore, it says, so Jesus knew what we would say. And He came down as a man and went through all that He did. And therefore, would understand as a man and what we go through. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, seeing that we have a great high priest in passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the infirmities of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He understands it all. He's not a human being. He is fully God, fully man. He understands every little inkling that we go through. So please, Tanya, send me a text. Cast your cares upon it, for He cares for you. Why do you think He cares for you? He understands what we go through. That's why He cares for us. He understands we're weak humans. Do you think God just sitting up there going, oh, look at this guy. No, He understands what but that can't be an excuse that you use to continue to get away with the stuff you do. You cannot use it as an excuse. He understands you're a weak human being, but He also asks you to repent and change and get that stuff out of your life. Get a new thought on it. Well, how do I get a new thought? Get it in the King James Bible. Teach you how to think differently. Teach you how to raise your children differently. How to treat your spouse. How to answer people's questions. How to stop lying. All that kind of stuff. A King James Bible can teach you how to handle your finances. I mean, all this stuff. I wish I would have known about finances about 4 years ago. I'm just saying. But you know what? It's a lesson learned. One day, because of the financial stuff that I have absolutely ruined my family with, one day I will be able to go out there and help somebody.
and steer them away from the decisions that I made. And I really, out of a sincere heart, thought I was making the right decisions, made horrible, bad decisions, and out of that, there's a lesson for me to learn. I don't take it as I'm a failure and this and that. I learned a lesson. Lord, I said it even this morning. I kid you not. I said it this morning. I said, Lord, I understand what you've tried to show me. I do see that now with these finances. I understand it fully.
Amen.
I don't know what he's going to do with it, but I understand it. Now, guess what? Now I have another arsenal that go out there and maybe I'll help somebody else before they ruin themselves.
Amen.
Do I believe God's going to deliver us, Amy? Yes. Do I know how he's going to do it? I do not. Don't have a clue, but I believe wholeheartedly that somehow, some way, God's going to find a way to make a way for us to get things right. That's it. I tell Amy, look, is worrying helping you? Has it helped us? Then don't do it. Just can't do it, man. Not going to help. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verses 7 through 11 says, Thou madest him a little lower than the angel. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see that not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace, the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That means every single person that's sitting in this room, Jesus Christ died for.
Amen.
That's what that verse is. Every single person that's alive right now, Jesus Christ died for. But let me ask, how many of you this week, during the Thanksgiving week, thanked him for that? I know he brought it to my attention. He brought it to my attention fully this week, and that's why I did. He brought it fully to my attention. He gave me this. He brought it fully to my attention when he sat down with me when I was reading it in the book of Exodus. And I said, man, how thankful are we? How thankful are we for what he's done for us? My friend Chris Farwell's here. My friend Adam's here. My family's here. But I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you, I couldn't take a cross for you guys. I can be your friend, I can love you and pray for you and talk to you, but I couldn't take a cross for you. But there's one who did. It says he tastes death for every man, for it became him, for whom all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, Jesus is not ashamed of me in heaven right now. I'm his son. He's not ashamed to call me his son. He's not ashamed to call me his brother. But all my past sin, people, you know all the grossness and all the garbage that I went through in my past? Do you know he's not ashamed of me anymore?
Amen. That's right.
Right.
I'm going to stand there in heaven one day, and he's going to say, the Father's going to look and say, this one, Dale Morey. Jesus will say, oh, hey, I got him. That's mine. Father, he's mine. I bought him with my blood. The blood you trusted in, I bought that guy with. I bought Dale Morey with. He's mine. And the Father's going to say, okay, you're in. No shame whatsoever. He's going to put his hands up for me just as quick as I would for one of my own kids. He's going to stand up for me and say, no, Father, oh. That's what he's going to do. Right here. For something I never deserved. Why wouldn't I be thankful? Why wouldn't I want to live a Christian life for the one who died for me and who's making me who I am today? Why would I not take that serious? Why, when a man of God is up here preaching or the lady singing, do you think that no matter where I am, I try to sit so intently and hear every word that's coming out of their mouth? Why do you think that when I leave here, Christianity goes home with me and my family? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Yes or no, Amy? Does it? Yes or no? Go home with us. I don't come here and play church. I wasn't fake when I was out there lost. I ain't fake now. And if you think so, come to my house anytime you want, 24/7. You'll get what you get right here.
I may not have a suit on, a little more comfortable, but I got a collared shirt and nice pants on. I refuse to wear jeans. I don't wear jeans. I don't wear sneakers and all that. And it has nothing to do because they're bad things. It has something to do with me and my past. I don't want to be associated with my past, so I don't wear them. They're fine for you to wear. I don't judge you for what you wear. I'm just saying, for me, when I get jeans on, I want to start sagging them, and then I got the Nikes on because I want to be so cool. No, I don't. Listen, I'm not having that stuff in my life. You know why? Because that's not who I am. That's not who I am. That's who I was. But the blood of Jesus Christ changed me. Now, Pastor, did you ever tell me I couldn't wear sneakers or jeans or anything? Pastor Haynes, did you ever say anything about me? Weren't? No. Did anybody ever say anything to me about work? No, that's right. Who do you think told me? I got something with me and my father. That's all. Where did all the jeans you want? There's nothing wrong with jeans and sneakers. I'm just telling you something he did for me. For me. Did it make me saved because I changed the way I dress? Not at all. I can come in here in a bikini. No, I won't. But I can come in. It doesn't have any effect on my salvation.
Amen.
Not one inkling of it. My friends, the people I work with and all that, that has no inkling of my salvation. Do you know why all that comes? Because it's my new heart, my new life. That's what drives me now. Things are becoming new slowly. Things are just becoming new. Didn't happen for me overnight. Salvation did. Happened in a millisecond or however a second, whatever. It happened that quickly. And then, one of the first things that I realized, and it's always been part of my testimony, one of the things that I realized immediately after salvation is that I knew when I was getting angry. For the first time in my life, I realized I'm getting angry, I'm getting mad. Now I got to do something about it. And for the first time in my life, I was able to control my anger.
Amen.
That was instant, wasn't it, Amy? I mean, within the first 24 hours, I got put to the test. And I realized, I go, Amy, I know when I'm getting mad. I realized it. I said, I'm getting mad, so I'm going to stop. That's it. I mean, now, I've lost it. Trust me. All right? But the thing was, the testimony part of that is, for the first time in my life, I realized something. That I had actual control. Something different changed inside of me. That I knew instantly. Something was just different.
Amen.
And from that day on, it's just been getting different all the time. For the last 3 years, I just noticed different things going on with me, different things. And it's something that I don't even really have to work at. There's things that he has to work on me. There's things that he really has to tear at me about. But there's certain things, it just seems like it just flows. I told my Sunday school room, the way I dress, it was never an issue. It just flowed into it. It just, something happened. It was just, I can't explain it to you. It just happened. I flowed into it, and it's been that way. I'm just as comfortable this way as I ever did in my entire life. As comfortable as I was in them jeans and t-shirts and sneakers, that's how comfortable I am today with what I wear. It was just something that just became natural to me, which is something that was unnatural because she knows. I wouldn't even wear a collared shirt to a funeral. Would I? My own uncles, I was going to be a pallbearer. They said, please, you got to at least have a collared shirt. And I told Amy, I can't do this. I don't want no collared shirt on me. I don't want them to think anything like that about me. I put one on for them because I respected them. But I tell you what, it came off and hung in the closet for how many years? I still have it. Oh, I gave it to my brother. But I would wear it today. It's just too small. Put some weight on it. I'm going to finish this. Some reasons why he did not come down off of that cross, and they're found in your Bible. And I thought God really touched my heart. This Mark 15:29, it says that they passed by and railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest his temples and buildest it in three days." Jesus was not worried about what others thought. He stayed on that cross not to please people, but because he had us and even those same people in his heart. Just imagine, Tanya, the thought of you kept him on that cross.
But
sit on that for a while. The thought of you, Adam, kept Jesus Christ on that cross.
Right.
Kept him up there. Here they are. They're going by and wagging his head and their heads and they're saying all this nasty stuff about him. And he could have just said, popped all them spikes out, got down and said, what now? And he said, no. This is what I got to go through for Tanya, Adam, Dale. That's what he was picturing in his head, us.
Amen, that's right.
Amen.
Kept him nailed to the cross, huh? He created the spikes. He created the wood that he got nailed to. He could have came right off of that, no problem. But he wasn't worried about what other people thought about him. He was worried about what he thought about us. That don't drive you. That doesn't make your heart feel warm. That doesn't make you feel, oh my goodness. I'm saying, it does for me. Call me what you want, a wimp, a sissy. That's fine, I can take that. Jesus Christ took it, I can take it. But I'm just telling you now, to me, that showed a love that I would never imagine in a million years for somebody like me. You wouldn't have loved me like that.
Well,
you still don't love me like that.
That's right.
1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. I can't say that, for our sins.
Amen.
Huh?
That's good.
That's right. Not that we loved Him. I didn't love God. I mean, it's obvious. Covered in skulls and nasty old disgusting tattoos. I had no qualms of it. I had nothing I wanted to do with God. But He went on that cross for Dale Moore even when I hated Him.
Oh, glory.
Yes,
this is what it says. I know, call me a fool or idiot, but I believe the Bible. I'm sorry, guys. I believe what that says. I believe that He really did that for me. I believe that's why He kept Him on the cross, man. It was just a simple love for me. If you don't want to think He loves you, I feel bad for you.
Amen.
I feel sorry for you. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love for His creation kept Him on the cross. Jesus became the place for us to bring our sin to and have it forgiven for eternity. And I didn't even talk to you this week, and the Lord just showed me what that propitiation was.
Amen.
Just really made it clear for me.
Amen.
And I understood it. And Amy, I asked, she kept, after you got done preaching, she goes, did you go ahead and talk to Pastor about it? Because she knew what I had read.
Yeah.
Just telling you, man. I know why we went through what we went through this week. Man, he seen past the cross to a time when one of His would come to Him for eternity. Do you realize He seen past that cross and knew that one day, the saved people that are sitting in this room, He looked past the cross when you were still lost, when you were still dying and going to hell. He looked past that cross and said, they'll be standing there. I'm going to call them home one day. They're going to come up here with me. What would you do for your kids? What would it take for you to really have somebody convince you to come down or leave them alone? Let them get hurt. Who cares about them kids? What would it take for you to be convinced? Then why would Jesus come off that cross with us in His mind? Can you tell me that? He's not gonna. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, I understand you guys have that really memorized. Who cares about the memorization? What about the realization that's in that verse? Have you really realized that in your heart? Forget what you got in your mind. Have you realized that verse said in your heart? It says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died just the thought of you going into hell put Him on that cross. But yet, we sit here today and we have no love. No love. No love. We don't think of Him like we should. We don't thank Him like we should. We don't thank Him for the Bible. We don't thank Him for the preachers that we have in here. We don't thank Him for the friendships that we have in here. You know why? Because we're too busy fretting about each other. We're too busy complaining about each other. And we're too busy about everything about this world. And we've totally forgotten about Jesus Christ and what He's done. I'm guilty. You've heard my preaching the last couple weeks about fretting and complaining and all that stuff about, hey, I was guilty. But guess what? Because the Lord showed me that, I get that stuff out of my life.
Amen.
I struggle to get it out, but I get it out. One way or another, He's going to beat it out of me, or I'm going to end up just giving it out. I mean, that's it. When we are yet without strength, You notice that you don't have any strength when you're without Jesus Christ. You think you're strong. You think you know what you're doing and you have it all down pat. It says, yet while we are yet without strength. Mark 15:30 says, save thyself and come down from the cross. Jesus was not worried about himself. His love for us and those was in his heart. Even on the cross, Jesus was selfless. We read in Luke 23:34, it says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He's on the cross, nailed to it, beaten, his beard ripped out, and he's still saying, Father, forgive them. When he hung on that cross for you, do you know what he was telling the Father after it was done? Forgive them.
Yeah.
My blood's going to... You know my blood... I came to repentance 3 years ago, 90 and a half East Main Street. Got saved, gloriously saved, washed in the blood. You know what Jesus said? Father, here's my blood. It's on him now. Forgive him. He didn't know anything. It's over. Done. I'll never answer for that stuff again.
No, that's right. God.
On the cross, he hung between two malefactors. He told one of them, I'll see you in paradise, because he knew. That guy knew. That robber, that thief, he knew that who Jesus Christ was. He knew what he was up there to do. He knew in his heart, Jesus said, I'll see you in paradise. You're going to come with me in paradise. Let me tell you something right now. Even on the cross, he was selfless. Even on that very cross, and we haven't even got to the part yet. I'm going to get this done in 5. I need you to hear this part. Mark 15:34. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Jesus was not worried about saving himself. His love for us kept him on that cross to save us and even the religious people. The religious people were walking by saying stuff to him. But you know what? That didn't take Jesus off the cross.
Nope.
He died for them just as well. Hey, you're religious in this room today? I'll tell you right now, you need Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. You need that cross just as well as anybody else. Your religion will do nothing for you. I promise you that. It never did a thing for me. Religion, never in a million years, ever touched my heart, never healed a thing, never did anything for me. Jesus Christ, a relationship, not a religion. That's what changed me. Even for those who tore out his beard, spit on him, mocked him, and even the ones who drove the spikes into his hands and feet, he stayed on the cross, even for them. The beatings, the scourging was bad. The spit, the crown of thorns being kicked into his head was bad. The pulling out of his beard was bad. The spikes hammered through his hands and his feet as he hung naked on the cross was bad. But nothing was compared to the pain that he faced in Mark 15:34. And it says, in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That pain right there was the pain, the ultimate pain, the pain that he paid, that price that he paid for you on that cross to be separated from his Father. He was separated from his Father for you. He could take the beard being pulled out and the crown of thorns being stomped into his head, but to be separated from the one he's always been, had an eternal union with, that was a pain second to none. But you know what? It still didn't take him off that cross.
Yeah.
It said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He knew that he was going to have to be separated from his Father because of sin. He knew that he was going to have to be separated from his Father because of us, and yet he stayed on that cross. How much does that not mean anything to you? I'm sorry if it doesn't mean anything to you. Forgive me. What a sad, sad state you're in.
Good.
Just tell you how it is. At the ninth hour, I told you, he cried. The very moment he became us and he became our sin. And God the Father turned his back on him. It was the worst pain Jesus would ever feel, being separated from God the Father, whom he had always had perfect union with throughout eternity. This pain Jesus suffered and faced so that one day we would not have to stand before a holy God and be eternally separated. He became separated from his Father so that we would not have to for eternity.
Amen.
This is the love that kept Jesus on the cross. This is the love for the ones that did this to him. The love for those who have lived and who are living and who will kept Jesus on the cross. He could have come down to save himself, but he chose to stay on that cross that we may be saved.
Amen.
He chose to stay on that cross that we may be saved. Have you thought about that yet this week? Have you been thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for you and is doing for you? Have you really been thankful for what He's really done? Think of it in a human standpoint. Imagine you having to go through that same thing, then being nailed to a cross for one of your kids. Would you not want them to be thankful? How eternally, Christians, for those of you who are saved, eternity will never end. Put that on the line for us so that we can be eternally with Him. Don't turn your back on Jesus anymore. Get to Him. Get to Him quick. I'm done, Pastor.